Hello, everyone. This is James Dobson with Family Talk. For parents today, there's no more important job than building a lasting legacy for their children and grandchildren based on God-designed principles for strong families. 35 years ago, San Antonio hosted our first film series called Focus on the Family. It was eventually seen by 80 million people around the world. Now join me as I return to San Antonio for a special one-day event featuring a fresh look at these timeless biblical principles for raising boys and girls in today's challenging culture. Building a Family Legacy takes place Saturday, January 19th at San Antonio's Cornerstone Church. Doors open for this free event at 8 a.m. and tickets while they last are required. Learn more and reserve your seats now at buildingafamilylegacy.com.
Thanks for joining us today as we roll into 2013 here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Luann Crane here with Ryan Dobson, and our host, as always, is psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson.
Luann, I heard someone once said that life begins at retirement. Mm. Is that really true? And if it is, I'm not sure what that means for my dad, because he doesn't believe in retirement. I don't think he ever will.
And he is still running circles around all of us here, Ryan.
I can't understand how he does it. But for our listeners who are in the second half of their life and looking at retirement, we've got a great program for them today. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there are many listening to us now who are in the midlife and beyond age group.
And we want to make sure to bring you broadcasts that are relevant to where you are in life. So today we will be hearing from a longtime friend of Dr. Dobson's who actually went to be with the Lord in 2006. Mm. I'm speaking of Dr. Ted Engstrom, who wrote a wonderful book on this topic called Add Life to Your Years. It's a great title. Mm-hmm. That book is now out of print, but there are certain to be lots of copies to be found at those popular online retailers.
Well, I know my dad loved this man dearly. Mm-hmm. Dr. Engstrom was really a mentor to him. He served with him on the board of Focus on the Family for 26 years while my dad was still there, and he served with honor and integrity. He also led World Vision as its president for a period of time, and as we'll hear in a moment, he took that ministry from a fairly small organization to one that has a major impact around the globe.
And he also has a lot of wisdom to share about how to approach those coming senior years and beyond. If you really want to learn how to finish well, the place to start is by looking at others who left this world with a rich legacy of faith, like our guest today.
Well, I know my dad looks back on this conversation with very fond memories, so I'm glad we can bring Dr. Engstrom's wisdom and advice to our listeners today here as we kick off the new year together. So let's hear their interchange now on this Family Talk broadcast.
Well, what a great moment of my life this is. I'm in Cody, Wyoming, with my beautiful wife, Shirley, and sitting by a fire with a great friend. What could be better than that? Dr. Ted Engstrom is here with me. We've come out here to the mountains for a board meeting that just concluded, and everybody's heading back down the mountain. And Dr. Engstrom and I have had this opportunity to sit down together and talk. He has been the president of many Christian organizations, including Youth for Christ for 6 years, and, of course, World Vision for how many years?
Over 20 years.
And when you took over that responsibility, its contributions and income were about $5 million.
Well, I first came in 1963 as executive vice president, and then later I became the president. When I came with Dr. Bob Pierce in 63, our budget was about $5 million a year.
And when you left?
$400 million.
That's God's blessing. And what you learned there has been so valuable to all of us here. And I love you like a brother. And more than that, I love you like a father. My dad's been gone for over 20 years, and you're like a dad to me. And I really do love you.
Well, Jim, you compliment me so much by saying that. And I'm so deeply appreciative of our friendship over these years. And being here with the board has been a special treat these last couple of days.
You have written some 50 books through the years and hundreds of articles. And so many other things. You founded or co-founded the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability.
Yes, George Wilson and I co-founded it some years ago. He was then with the Billy Graham Association. He's now in heaven, of course. But 25 years ago or so, we co-founded the ECFA.
Mm. When I asked you to join the board of Focus on the Family, you were already on some 25 boards, and your good wife, Dorothy, was telling you not to accept any more responsibility. And you saw me as a young man, just getting started in ministry, didn't know a whole lot about what I was doing. I think we were 2 or 3 years in at that time. And you first told me no, and then you came back and sent me a note and said, I accept, and the rest is history.
Well, we had lunch together that day at the University Club in Pasadena, and I had known of you, of course, prior to that time, prior to our meeting together, but I didn't feel I could spend the time that would be necessary until I saw part of your film series, and the film on fatherhood really got to me. And I recall that in the darkness there, I dropped a note to you and said, in effect, count me in.
Ted, you are now, and I think you will allow me to say this, you're now 86 years old?
Yes, I am.
86. And you're almost blind.
Yes.
And have other infirmities.
I don't walk very well. I don't hear very well. I don't see very well, but I'm doing great.
And you love the Lord with all of your heart.
Oh, yes.
And are still trying to contribute and are contributing in a mighty way to his kingdom. It is just amazing. It was very hard for you and Dorothy to come out here to Cody, Wyoming for our board meeting. I mean, that was difficult for you. You're here. You came.
Well,
why?
Very gratefully, Jim, as you know, we brought our daughter Joanne. She goes with me when I travel, and she came with Dorothy and me on this trip, and that's so very, very helpful.
But you came. Answer my question. Why did you come? You could have told me it's just too tough.
I came because I love you, because I want to be a part of what God is doing in these days. And this is something God is marvelously doing, and I like to be a part of it. And as God allows me to do that, well, I want to share in those kinds of activities.
Well, you have just written a book, another book, called Add Life to Your Years, Aging with Passion and Purpose. It's published by Tyndale with a foreword by Chuck Colson. And in this book, you're talking about not sitting down and watching the world go by just because you're past 65, but continuing to serve the Lord with the talent he's given you. Does that summarize your...
Oh, yes, very much so. I feel passionate about the fact that God wants all of us, we draw our last breath, to serve him with all of our soul, all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our spirit, all of our strength. I feel very strongly about that. And... you know, we moved into a very lovely retirement center about 3.5 years ago. It's a 5-star, wonderful food and great fellowship. It's run by the Presbyterian Church in Southern California. But I sensed early on that some of my Christian friends there seemed to be passionless. They moved from meal to meal, day to day, week by week, without being involved in anything meaningful. And that really troubled me. And so I decided I'd write a book. Maybe my last book, I'm not sure.
I hope not.
Regarding this the attitude of seniors. This book is addressed to seniors. Earlier on, I wrote a book, Welcome to the Rest of Your Life, which was addressed to those preparing for what we call retirement years. I don't like the term retirement, but we'll accept it for the moment, for those kinds of people. But after being in that situation, I felt that I needed to address one step further, what do you do while you're in those senior years that can be redemptive and meaningful as far as our communities and serving the Lord is concerned?
Well, you retired, so to speak, from World Vision a number of years ago. What, were you 70 at that time?
Yes, in 1988, that's 14 years ago, so I had been 72.
But didn't slow down. I mean, you did as much traveling for the Lord after that as before. I mean, you were all over the place.
Yes. And I did a lot of consulting with evangelical agencies, which I really appreciated. Met with Christian leaders who headed up ministries and missions and rescue missions and all those kinds of things. On kind of a management audit is what I called it. And I would meet with these men. I still do. And with these leaders. Mm-hmm. And out of what experience God has given to me in management and leadership, I shared with them. And thoroughly enjoy that part of what I call my fourth career.
Well, let me press you a little. Having worked so hard for all those years, and especially running a $400 million organization, back even in the 80s, that was a big, big organization. It may have been the largest Christian organization. In fact, I think it was. And you had served the Lord well, and it was time to rest. So why didn't you feel you kind of earned the right to kind of travel with Dorothy and read and enjoy and be with your family and just kind of take life easy?
Oh, God didn't make me that way. I just can't sit back and rest and relax that way. That's not my way of living. I want always to be involved in something that's helpful and meaningful and redemptive. And God has opened those kinds of doors for me, still does week by week, and for which I'm very, very grateful.
Describe for us your emotional reaction to the last 14 years compared with the previous 14 years in terms of satisfaction and fulfillment and enjoyment.
It may seem strange to say it, but I have felt that these last years have been the most meaningful and happy years that I've had. I thoroughly enjoyed what I've been doing. Part of the reason being that I'm my own boss now. I don't report to a board. I report to a family and to the Lord himself. But I don't have those kinds of restrictions. I can come and go as I want. I can do the things I want to do. And that to me has been very releasing. Over the years, I was responsible to boards of directors and to a large team of people. I don't have that kind of responsibility now. I enjoyed those years immensely. But I'm thoroughly enjoying what I'm doing now because I have that kind of a freedom to do the things that I think that God puts on my heart to do.
Well, what is it that gives a person this energy, this enthusiasm for life when it's winding down?
Well, I think, first of all, it's a deep love for the Lord himself and the guidance and the direction of the Holy Spirit and the desire to finish well. I've always had a goal that with the Lord. I said, Lord, please help me to finish very, very well. I want to hear that well done, good and faithful servant. But while I'm on earth, please help me to be the kind of a servant that you want me to be. Obviously, I fail so very, very often. I'm very much aware of that. But the desire of my heart is that I'll really finish well. My latter days will be better than my earlier days.
Is the word retirement in the Bible?
No.
Is the concept in the Bible?
I don't think so. Moses never retired, and Paul didn't retire until he was killed. You know, we wouldn't have the Ten Commandments if Moses had retired, and John wouldn't have written the book of Revelation if he'd retired. It's not a biblical term.
Here's a verse from your book, Joshua 14, 10 to 12. Caleb is talking, just as the Lord promised. He has kept me alive for 45 years while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old, and I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. So the Lord can still use you after 65, can he?
Without a doubt. That's without a question. The Lord wants to use us in our later years. And, you know, somehow people respect age, I've found, and they will listen. Sometimes they wonder whether we're making sense sometimes, but they're willing to listen to us, and I really enjoy that.
Ted, you looking forward to going to heaven?
Oh, am I ever? Oh, my goodness, yes.
You're not depressed about dying?
Oh, no. I read everything I possibly can get a hold of. I don't read now because of my sight, but I listen to books on tape. But I look for everything I can on heaven. Max Licato had a book recently I listened to on tape talking about heaven, which I just reveled in it. My pastor, Gordon Kirk, 2 weeks ago preached a sermon on heaven, and I went out of there walking on air thinking, oh, my goodness, I can hardly wait. I can't imagine what heaven has for me, but I'm terribly excited about it. But while I'm here, I'm equally excited about serving the Lord.
Yeah. Being blind does not depress you?
I'm not blind. I guess I'm legally blind. I can still drive my car a little bit dangerously, and I can see signs and so forth. I can walk around without difficulty. I use a cane. But no, I No, I accept that. It's okay.
Not being able to read?
Well, having books on tape is marvelous. Yeah. I really enjoy that. I have a tape recorder that I listen to all the time. I get books from the Braille Library, and I get books from the Christian bookstore, and I listen to tapes constantly. So that's, of course, the problem. It takes me four times longer to listen to a book than to read a book. That's
yeah,
a problem.
Right.
But I do it.
Huh. Well, keying off the theme of your book, Add Life to Your Years, talk to the person out there who is approaching the senior years and kind of feels like it's all over, and they've sort of done it, and life is passing them by, and the sand's running out of the hourglass, and they just don't have much motivation to press on. Talk to that person who's kind of in a hole and can't get out.
Don't be afraid of the future, first of all, and don't be concerned about the past. You've made errors, you've made mistakes, you've sinned, but God is a forgiving God, and so don't rest upon the past, but be future-oriented. God may have only a week or a year or 10 years or 20 years for you, but whatever time he gives to you, make sure that you use it meaningfully to glorify the Lord. Find ways to use your gifts, your abilities, your time, your energy. Have goals. Set a goal for every day. Set a goal for the week. I'm very much goal-oriented. Set a goal for the month or the year, and God will help you to achieve those goals that are meaningful. And live expectantly. Live with the realization that someday all of the problems of the past will be forgotten, and it'll be the glories of the future. And I'd say don't rest upon the past, but be future-oriented and live for the glory of Christ as much as you possibly can.
What about the person who's younger and depressed and just kind of feels a meaningless existence?
Well, Jim, you're the psychologist, not I. And I don't know how to address that particularly, but it's wonderful to know that God rules and overrules in our lives, and he can manage any situation if we'll yield it to him. I'm so grateful for the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives to make changes as he wills, as we yield to him. And I think the big thing is to be willing to yield to the Spirit of God to do his work in our lives at whatever the pressures may be.
Ted, we asked you here in Cody to give the devotion the first morning of the board meeting, and you just sat and talked to us about your life. Share some of what you said there. I wish we'd recorded it.
Well, I was talking about the grace of God. I've been reveling in recent weeks on God's marvelous grace. Your former pastor, Earl Lee, had an acronym for grace, G-R-A-C-E, which is God's riches at Christ's expense, which I really like that thought. And we talked about various kinds of grace. Talk about saving grace. I was so grateful to testify of God's salvation in my life as a young man at 19 years of age. We talked about God's forgiving grace. And I talked about God's sustaining grace and God's dying grace. I've had so many of my buddies and friends in the last months who have gone to be with the Lord. And sometimes I get just depressed about that. And then all of a sudden I begin to rejoice about the fact that someday I'm going to see them, you know, in glory. And then I talked about the fact that God's grace has been so evident in my life over these 60 years of traveling the world. And God has enabled me to meet presidents and prime ministers and heads of government, which I never expected as a young man. But it's been a wonderful walk with the Lord. And I don't have any regrets. People say, what do you regret about your past? Well, I regret the sin of the past, but I don't have any regrets. Mm-hmm. And I just am grateful for God's marvelous, marvelous grace. To me, it is the most beautiful principle in all of Scripture, is the grace of God. Mm-hmm. For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus, who, though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. And how wealthy we are as believers in the grace of Christ.
Amazing grace, right?
Amazing grace.
You said yesterday during that devotional that you had three passions in life. And the first one was world evangelism. Share those with us.
World evangelism and Christian higher education and the church. Those are my three passions. Everything I do, I want to be related to those three things. I love working with young people. I've been on a number of Christian college boards. I serve on a board presently on a university board that's Christian. And I really believe in higher education for young people. I believe in the church. The church is God's instrument, and I am a churchman to the very core of my being. I've, as a layman, I've had every role possible in the church, from teaching a Bible class to being chairman of, a large church council. And then I believe with a passion on being involved in world evangelization, bringing back the king, as A.B. Simpson used to say. And those are my passions, along, of course, with my family. You know, God has ordained three and only three institutions. He's ordained the family, first of all. He's ordained government. He's ordained the church, all three which are under attack these days. But the family is the very heart and the very core of what God wants to do.
Ted, one of your mottos through the years has been seize the day. Explain what you mean by that.
Some years ago, I saw a movie featuring Robin Williams. It was, the movie was The Dead Poets Society. And Williams was a professor in a prep school back east someplace. And he constantly talked to his boys about carpe diem, which means seize the day. And I thought about the importance of that. Yesterday is a canceled check. We can do nothing about that. Tomorrow is simply a promissory note, but today must be seized. And I kind of live along that with that philosophy, that take every opportunity today to do God's will. Don't worry about tomorrow, and don't reflect on the past too much, but live for today.
Mm-hmm. Well, the name of the book, again, is Add Life to Your Years, Aging with Passion and Purpose. It's a good read. Many stories in this book, and it's
Jim,
probably...
let me give one final word, if I may.
Yeah.
I say this in the book, but General William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, one Christmas time, wanted to send out a telegram of greetings to all of his key people across the globe. It was before the days of the fax or email, but he used a telegraph, and he formed a sentence, but he realized that it would be too costly to send that full sentence out by telegraph all across the globe. So he cut the sentence in half and realized, again, that was very, very expensive. He ended up by sending out one word, and that was others. And it seems to me that for seniors, if we can live in behalf of others, that God will be glorified in that way.
Well, that's a wonderful story on which to close out this Family Talk broadcast. We've been listening today to a conversation that our host, Dr. James Dobson, had with his very dear friend, Dr. Ted Engstrom.
Lou Ann, I know my dad loved this man so much. Mm-hmm. You even heard him say earlier that he was like a father figure to him after my grandfather died. Dr. Engstrom passed away in 2006, and we'll all look forward to seeing him again one day.
Well, I'm sure that deep affection is shared by thousands of people around this country who were also touched by his work, including the many books that he wrote throughout the years. His great legacy certainly lives on today as we revisit the wisdom he had to share. For those of you who are in the second half of life, I hope that his words today will motivate you to look around here at the beginning of this new year and see how you can have the same kind of impact that Dr. Engstrom had on your world.
And if you're in the second half of life and would like to learn more about how you can get involved in mentoring in your own community, please contact us. We can recommend some wonderful organizations that can help you get started. You can call us at 877-732-6825, or you can visit us online at drjamesdobson.org.
And even if you are not in that age group, you probably have a family member, a friend, or a neighbor who would be helped and encouraged by this program today. Mm. We would love to send you a complimentary CD of this discussion that you could pass along to them. So again, the phone number to request that, 877-732-6825, or, of course, online at drjamesdobson.org.
And in keeping with this theme of legacy, we want to let anyone who lives in the San Antonio, Texas area or who can get there, mm-hmm. I want you to know that my dad, Dr. James Dobson, and our whole family are traveling to Texas.
Well, even you and your kids.
My mom, my wife, Lucy, who will have just turned one.
Oh, my goodness.
Lincoln Cash will be there. My dad's going to be speaking at Cornerstone Church on January 19th, and he'll actually be filming some of the final messages for the Building a Family Legacy DVD series.
And Ryan, we've actually heard that it looks like maybe up to 20 people will be there in San Antonio on the 19th who were in the original audience at the first film series that your dad recorded several years ago. So that's kind of exciting. In fact, if any others of you listening were in that original film series taping 35 years ago, please contact us. We would love to invite you to join him for this reunion of sorts at Cornerstone Church in San Antonio, Texas on January 19th.
That's right. The doors open at 8 a.m. and the conference starts at 9 a.m. This event is completely free, but you do need to register. And to get more information or to RSVP, visit drjamesdobson.org and we'll have a link to everything you need.
And before we close out today, just a special thank you to all of you who gave generously to help us finish 2012 strong financially. We do appreciate your sacrificial gifts and your prayers for standing with us throughout the year. Again, to find out more about our plans for 2013, go online to drjamesdobson.org and look at the 1,000 Days of Impact announcement there.
Thanks for listening today, and we'll invite you to be with us next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.